This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, the band, back together, back to work on a Monday. My man hit it hard. This guy, he just rolled like a rock star through Los Angeles, Vegas. We don't even know where else he was, man. He keeps it kind of quiet, but it is our man, Carl Dukes, back in the mix. And we start the big 5 o'clock hour with a big strong. And do the best you can, brother. I know your voice is weak.
I got you.
With a big hearty, hey, man. So we got to make sure Carl saves the voice for later in the week. So we're rolling, baby. And we're live at State Farm, where we got the Celtics coming to town. Hottest team in the NBA. Look at the part. Peaking at the right time. And looking for the season sweep against the Hawks. Unless our young stud, Bruno Fernando, can summon some of that magic that he delivered against Charlotte.
Mike, Celtics are ridiculously good. We know that. But you get them twice this week. So you get two shots at them.
Right.
Tonight, Friday, in between, you've got, you know, a winnable game. And then Saturday, they get Milwaukee as his homestand continues.
Right.
I'm with you. This is a great test. And if you're able to win one of these or maybe both this week, maybe it's a statement for the Hawks to say, hey, we can maybe make a little run here and get, you know, a better seating. But I just think with these injuries, they keep piling up.
Yeah, and look, it's the great debate, and you and I talked about this last week. Is it going to be an excuse for the organization? Can they legitimately look Hawks fans in the eyes and say, well, if we didn't have those injuries, we'd be a six seed? Because everything else is playing. Everything else is a form of the play-in.
Yeah.
And we thought, you know, when you went and paid DeJounte Murray, first when you made the trade for him, that we were not going to be in this rut of play-in. So I know that if Trey comes back from the injury, that's going to be a big what-if. We'll talk more about it coming up. But Trey, off the pinky injury, if he has to wear a brace, is he not going to be willing to play? Because we'll say this about Trey. If he gets into these play-in games, he will carry this team through to at least a matchup maybe the Celtics as
right,
a one seed.
Right, right.
Worst case scenario. So that's all on the way, guys. Falcon Report, and the only thing to report is, Carl, we kind of spent our loot. Unless we restructure, there's not a lot of money left right now to do some of the things which you and I talked about. So now you've got to go address these needs, and that's corner and edge rush in the draft. One of the guys you and I earmarked was L'Jarius Sneed. He goes for next to nothing. A third-round pick in 2025, swaps of seventh-rounders with Tennessee. Andy Reid was speaking at the owners' meetings in Orlando, said Sneed's one of my all-time favorite guys. I hate to lose him, but you know the way our general manager's been juggling the cap, it's been kind of amazing. So L'Jarius Sneed now at Titan. I thought that'd be a nice piece here in Atlanta.
Yeah, listen, I liked him because you could insert him and he plays immediately. This is not a project. This is not I'm not sure if he can play coming out of college. We really like him, but he's got a lot of upside and potential that he has to learn on the job. Sneed can play for you right now. So I'm disappointed from the standpoint of we didn't want to go in on this, but it also has me thinking, Mike, that they really like some kids in the draft. They're cheaper. Ultimately, they will be. And I think that that is probably going to be the target. Now, is it going to be the eighth overall pick?
Mm.
That's the question.
And that gets us into the nonsense. And as we know now, 4 weeks or so out, or just over 4 weeks out from the draft, owners' meetings in Orlando, and this is when some of the misinformation starts. Do you buy that the Commanders at 2 and New England at 3 are literally shopping those picks? Now, here's where it gets interesting. Jim Harbaugh says that J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in the draft. Puts him over even Caleb Moore. Got to love your program before you love yourself, right? So he throws that out there.
Yeah.
The idea is that the Commanders really like J.J. McCarthy. Maybe the Patriots do too, but he's not worth a second or a third overall based on the interest in Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and maybe somebody else, you know? So do you feel that you could move down and still get McCarthy? The reason I bring it up is you might have some amazing talent that's not an edge rusher available at 8 because of it.
You got to get this quarterback thing right. And, Mike, it's not a risk if you believe it. It's not a risk if everybody in that organization believes that this is the guy. It's not a risk. It's a risk to us because we don't – maybe some of you don't see it. I've been talking about McCarthy being the fourth best quarterback, or at least perceived to be. I think Drake may be swapping places, and all of a sudden we're talking about Caleb, right. We know, 1, 2, Jaden Daniels, 3, McCarthy. Then it becomes who fits best in what we're trying to get accomplished. This does not even surprise me. And I know some of you are like, oh, it's a smokescreen. I don't believe that. I know. I'm not talking about what Harbaugh said. Mike's right. That's just nuts. He's not the best player. But if you are all in and he had a really good pro day and you think this is the guy and everybody agrees in that organization, you draft him.
All right.
You just do it.
Hey,
do it.
And look, you know, if this, if every general manager out there was clairvoyant and that was a tremendous 1,000% evaluator of talent, they would never get fired.
Correct. Because I'm telling you, this right. Jaden Daniels size thing, it doesn't matter to us,
but
people are like making that a bigger deal.
No, I mean, I get it. If you watch him, if you watch his tape, he throws it like a friggin' frozen rope, 50 years, but then he also takes hits like Evel Knievel falling off his motorcycle. So I get why some guys get freaked out by it, but if I was a general manager, I would take him. I would even put him over Caleb. Caleb Williams really did blow doors at the USC Pro Day, especially with the work under center. Yes, he's number 2. I'll walk that back. But Jaden Daniels at 2. But the idea being that those teams really like J.J. McCarthy, can you pull a fast one and still get your guy and also pick up a second or third rounder? Then there's the Vikings who might be completely hosed on this deal, and they may have to go Bo Nix or Michael Penix because they can't get into where this thing may happen.
Yes,
it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. And if you've got – we'll find out here in the next few weeks, Mike, more than one suitor for McCarthy. Then that opens up another, we can't wait.
Right.
So we'll see.
Hey, man, one of the other things is, and you and I have said this a million times on the show, we're at Mercedes-Benz, the music's pumping, you know, whatever the tune is, wherever you are in the NFL, whether it's hard rock or hip-hop, you know, here come the boys from the South and the kickoff. Touchback. Okay, there's a whole lot of nothing. So they're really looking at this XFL
model. Yeah.
The kicker is going to be on his own 35. I still think the kicker's got to be on his own 30. From the 35, every NFL kicker worth his weight can put it through the goalpost. But anyway, kicker's going to be on his own 35. Your kicking team lines up on the 40-yard line. So the other 10 players on the kicking team will be at the receiving team's 40. Each player's got to have at least 1 foot on the 40 before the play can start. And then the receiving team is just back in a 5 yards ahead, anywhere from 30 to 35-yard line. That's where they'll be positioned. So you can only have 10 yards of kinetic energy built up to screw somebody up and get away from the collisions and concussions the NFL so preoccupied.
The only thing you're going to be able to do in 10 yards is tie somebody up. You're not knocking them out. You're not clobbering them.
But if a guy doesn't handle his own individual assignment, then perhaps the return man can make something happen.
Well, I love it because this is what baseball did with the whole bases big. And less throws to first and second. But action. We want action.
Yes.
You kick the ball off. I get it from the start of the game. Right?
Right.
That's what the NFL is looking for.
So the receiving team can put 2 returners back, by the way. As we said, they can put some guys on the 35, some guys on the 30. But it will create a new look. I got to be honest, like most changes in the NFL, I hate it. And then I start to think about it, and eventually I will come around to it. But I just want to see this play mean something and not just be a waste of everyone's time. And I think that's what we're shooting for. But not from the 35. Have the kicker kick it from the 30. Then I guarantee you now the ball's somewhere between the 5 and the goal line.
Yeah.
And now we got options.
I agree. I like it. We'll see how it looks. But we saw it with the XFL. Right. And this is not the first time they've incorporated something from another league. We've seen stuff work.
The cameras that you see hanging over, that all started with the XFL back in the early 2000s as well. So that's just some of the stuff that the owners have been talking about. One of the other things, and this is something Carl and I spent some time on, if you missed earlier part of the show, is the hip drop tackle. guys getting past you, your only form of leverage is to basically, as I said to Carl, the way we used to tackle, we play kill the guy with the ball when we were kids. Or, you know, you basically grab the guy and you use your leverage of your hip and throw him over. Didn't think it was an epidemic. Mark Andrews got hurt doing it. Other players have been hurt. But this is now creating a strike zone. It's going to be so hard in real time for players to execute. Because now, if you're a smaller receiver, a smaller player, Carl, going after a tight end, a running back, receiver, so you're supposed to wrap your arms around his waist and go for a drag? You know, like, now it's a sleigh ride, and you hope your buddies pile on as well?
Yeah, I think this is, we've gone, again, just a step too far. And I love Andrews, but he was the only guy that really got injured in this whole ordeal. Right. I know he's a star in the league, and the Ravens protested, but Mike, you're limiting what guys can do defensively over and over and over. And I just think as we continue to do this,
right,
how are you going to tackle? 5 years from now, how are you supposed to tackle?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you look, the quarterback, you can't hit below the knees. We understand that because the quarterback's the franchise guy. You can't certainly get anywhere near the head, even if – and that's where I hate the fact that any kind of
in the pocket,
yeah,
right?
But it's an inconsequential glancing blow, like what Grady got popped for, you know, on Tom Brady 2 seasons ago.
Sure.
Stuff like that. So we got enough of that. You can't do the hog. I mean, you know, the hog, I get that. You know, you can't do the horse collar. You can't hog tie him. You can't do any of that. So now you've created a strike
zone. Or the leg whip, right?
Right.
The leg, that's the other one.
Right.
Where you grab a guy and you use your leverage and your legs to whip into him. So.
So the swivel hip drop tackle is another thing now which NFL referees can interpret and probably screw your favorite team over because of.
Yeah, so it's a 15-yard penalty and
right.
automatic
personal
first
foul.
Down.
All right. Bush.
I don't like it, but I don't like anything that limits the physicality of the game.
Right. I just didn't think this – to me, this is like you're getting a brain surgeon in for something that needs a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I didn't think this was that big a problem. Again, my point is, guys, nothing – whether it's – more rules, more regulations in a sport that's already got too much for the refs to screw up. That's my beef. Hey, man, there's your Falcon Report. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by, as we roll in live from State Farm, we'll be talking more about the Hawks. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We'll come back. We'll talk about the tournament. I know it's always bananas to be out in Vegas when March Madness is in full swing. And the SEC. Should Greg Sankey, should have poured himself, Carl, a big tall glass of shut up juice next.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
You are listening live from State Farm Arena. It's Dukes and Bell, man. We're right behind the top in Atlanta. As you're walking in the main entrance, come by and say hi. You get in here right over by Killer Mike's Swag Shop. Your cousin from Boston. Yeah, there'll be a lot of those people here. A bunch of chowder heads. Mass holes will be here, but that's okay.
What'd you just say?
Mass hole. But anyway, you guys can make some noise and sound off like you got a pair as we try to avoid the season sweep against a team which a lot of folks feel is just built for a championship. You know, and whatever you think about Jason Tatum and maybe coming up short in some bigger moments, I mean, adding Porzingis, adding Drew Holiday, they're loaded, bro. Carl's voice is weak, so I will continue to talk, and Carl will just go, yes.
I'm nodding, yes. Well, no, you know what? I just said this to you guys before we went to break, and I know we're going to talk about the tournament, but I just saw a story where, and I know you brought this up weeks ago with Diddy, Puffy, and this alleged lawsuit or whatever that's out there.
Feds getting involved?
Feds have raided Diddy's house in L.A. And I was just like, whoa, because they were showing helicopters. You know they got helicopters everywhere.
Well, they tip off the local guys, and here we go.
Yeah, so TMZ was reporting that they also raided his home in Miami.
Oh, snap.
Mike, what are they looking for? What's
going
on? What's going on with Diddy, man?
If one-fifth of all the allegations against Diddy are accurate, then he's looking at some time making license plates behind bars. It doesn't. Now, look, some of this stuff is hype. Some of this stuff is legit. But a lot of people in the music business have gone on record, have talked about some of the things which have been alleged. So now I guess it's time for Johnny Law to see how much is legit. And they're doing it, apparently.
And I'm just going to read what this is NBC News. I think this is in Miami.
Right.
Or actually, this is L.A. or Miami. Sean Diddy Combs, homes are searched by federal officials after allegations of sexual trafficking and distribution of illegal firearms and narcotics. So that's what the news folks are saying is why the feds got involved.
Right.
Feds, Mike.
Federal, as in.
Yeah.
You're,
all right, and that's why I wasn't saying anything.
You're messing with the G here,
I'm
pal.
Listening to you. Yeah. The voice is coming. I feel it. It's going to be fine. But I was like, whoa. So anyway.
No, as you guys know, there was an explosive couple articles that came out about less than a month ago about all these things. I know that, now again, was 50 Cent Was he out there filming for his documentary on this?
No,
the FBI came in?
But 50 just posted on Insta the picture of the feds raiding his house. So he's relentless.
Never letting that thing die, man. So we'll give you a little bit more of that on Guy Talk tomorrow to get more information. But, yeah, this is there's a lot of smoke. And now this seems to be a little bit of fire. So we'll keep you up to speed.
All right.
Tournament action. The only beef I had with Sankey, I get where he was going. Want to get more, you protect your interests if you're the commissioner of the SEC.
And what did Sankey, real quick, what did
he say? These stupid little schools with their automatic bids from conferences you don't know, like this, what's it, Oakland of Michigan.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
So Sankey really did sound like Dean Wormer or, you know, Judge Smales. You know, just like, I don't think we need any of these small schools. We need more big schools. And then all you see is SEC just dropping like flies. As you guys know, Yale takes down Auburn. Although some would say, if you believe in karma, Bruce Pearl's had that coming for a long time. Alabama holds on to their business, as does Tennessee, in a really tight matchup with Texas. But they never got tripped up. Everybody else, though, again, if you didn't see South Carolina, 6-seed loses to number 11, Oregon. We talked about the Florida Gators. They get to play Colorado with that dial-a-score game. Colorado was in the play-in game. They take them down. So right after, on the heels of Sankey popping off, nearly all everybody in the SEC is knocked out of the tournament. So it just seemed like some bad karma or juju coming full circle.
The tournament doesn't need to be fixed. The tournament is fine. Expanding the field doesn't fix it. As a matter of fact, it takes away from what already is a regular season that many people don't pay attention to.
Right.
Right? Fortunate, fair, unfair. Mike, because you get to this point, end of February, into early March, you start paying attention only because we all have brackets and only because people want to, you know, see what's going on with their particular schools. But at the end of the day, expanding the tournament is not the answer. So Greg Sankey, as much as I love what he does for the football stuff, that's just an incorrect answer, right? And then you see the results to what you were talking about. But all of the one seeds, right, you're talking about still potentially being in this thing. North Carolina, Purdue, Houston, UConn. UConn looks unbeatable. Tennessee, I told you guys maybe a few weeks ago, they may have the best player in this tournament we're going to see against Creighton coming up. NC State, Mike, huge surprise. There were people who said they shouldn't even make the tournament. They're making it to week two, and they got a tough matchup against Marquette. I just love the way this has played out. But at the end of the day, Mike, a lot of blue bloods.
Right.
So like, you look at this, these are teams either you're familiar with or have rich tradition or history. I have no issues with the way things have shaken out. And you always get a few upsets in those first few games or the first weekend, and it's what happened. Oakland got an upset, then they got beat.
Right. The thing is, though, I just feel if you're SEC and you're – look, I get it. The brand is huge, and the tournament in Nashville is always a big hit. But it's just – you've had three national championships in 25 years.
As a conference.
As a conference. Right. So you're not – this isn't the BCS into the playoffs.
Well, that gets us to Kentucky, too.
Right, because and that was my next question, because I mean, you were off on Friday. I was killing Calipari.
And rightfully so.
And I've always felt Carl for years, and I had a bunch of – some Kentucky fans are on my ass. Some guys were agreeing with me. We're saying, what you mean on – I said he had his own version of NIL in the transfer portal, basically – effect. The rules didn't seem to apply. At least he got the benefit of some really good relationships with the shoe business, you know, and everything else that he took advantage of. And he still only produces one national championship. Now you've got Kentucky fans taking a long, hard look and saying $33 million and change. Maybe it's time to, you know, pass the baton in Lexington.
Well, I'm one of them. And only because my money is spent there. Listen, nobody's cutting that check, Mike. He still has, I think, 4 years left on his deal. It's $33 million. Here's why Kentucky fans are PO'd, all right? Go look at the list, if you don't believe me, of guys that have come through. And you go, we only have one of these.
Right.
From Devin Booker to DeMarcus Cousins to Anthony Davis.
Right.
You guys do realize Shea Alexander's a Kentucky kid.
Yeah.
He went to Kentucky.
SGA. Cat.
And nobody knew who he was, Mike, at Kentucky because it was almost like he was limited.
Right. Every acronym that's gone to the NBA, they all went to Kentucky.
De'Aaron Fox.
Yes.
Julius Randle. I could go on and on. This is what people are saying in the Carl Anthony Towns. We had all of this, and we only have one.
Right.
John Wall. I mean, I go on and on. So this year, you've got three guys on that team right now. Shepherd may be a top five pick.
Right.
Huge argument in that world about whether or not he is. But that could go to the NBA, and they probably will, which gets us back to what happens. They're going to be young again next year. That's not going to change. It's the X's and O's and execution,
right,
in-game stuff that they've got to get better at, and that's what Cal's got to. He's got to hire people that can either be better or help him with
or
that.
Or you hire two tiers of players. For every McDonald's All-American and AAU darling you swap, get a guy that's going to be there for 3 or 4 years. Look at the job that Hubert Davis is doing. Look what Shire's got at Duke. They've got a blend of guys. Now, some of this is COVID-related, guys to get more eligibility, but this is also still not guys that were going to go to the NBA after year one. So, to me, at some point, and look, the thing that nobody ever wants to talk about, let's just keep it real. Calipari couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. He's like he's never seen a zone defense before. They got one player, Carl, on Oakland. All he does is shoot threes. Might want to put a guy on him at some point. Calipari, to me, schematically, X and O-wise, he's his own worst enemy. He's a dynamic personality, great recruiter. No one debates that. He's a horrible in-game adjuster. Remember the Final Four we went to against Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah.
That's another one.
Well, that was the team that should have won it all.
That's one of the best teams he's ever had.
Agreed.
So, I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying he needs to get some better coaching brain power on that sideline, or just stop wasting everybody who's spending money in Kentucky's time.
Yeah. The irony about that Oakland team, Mike, they almost won the game two. And to your point, the guy that shoots all those threes, they didn't have an answer for. I was looking to see who they played. Oh, it was NC State.
Right.
They didn't have an answer for him either. I mean, like, that's why the tournament is so fun to watch. Either way, he's not going anywhere. I know everybody's freaking out, and I was too, because it's embarrassing to have that riches of talent, okay, and to lose to a team that you shouldn't lose to.
Right.
It just is.
There's some schools this year that just didn't. We knew Kentucky was schizophrenic. You know, Kansas had some injuries they were dealing with. They get beat by Gonzaga. Maybe this is the year as a five-seed Gonzaga does something. Nobody really believes in Purdue outside of Purdue. Although Purdue, with Edie, they're just squashing people.
I really like the way Gonzaga played. Now, can they do it next week, this weekend? I don't know. But, man, they played really well, Mike.
Right.
So,
and then Alabama continues to do their job. Clemson.
See, I didn't think they played enough defense.
No.
And they're blowing teams out.
They're rolling through the rounds.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier, Brad Brownell is the coach up there is the coach at Clemson. He's recruited a ton of talent from Metro Atlanta. He's got the Hunter brothers. He's got a bunch of players, chiefly the big guy.
Really good kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, how does Georgia not do this? And I'm sorry. I know it's an old saw with me about how these guys don't stick. Waiting to see what Coach Stame is going to put together in the flats this year. He's supposed to have a top 15 recruiting class. But it would make this a hell of a lot more interesting for our audience if some of our Georgia teams were in it.
Well,
Listen,
we know we live in a great basketball market and state. We know this. But when our teams are not in it, it's just not as interesting.
Right.
It's just not. And think about Georgia Tech making a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight run and how much run they would get out of that because it's been so long. It just seems like it's so far few in between. But I do think Damon's going to get it right, and we'll see. Listen, Georgia's got a chance to win the NIT. It may not mean a lot, but if you're talking about building and maybe retaining these kids, as Connor Riley talked about, he's got three good freshmen on that team. You got to finish strong and convince them that this is only the start.
And by the way, really good combination as always. Our friends down the street over at Turner, so cool when they had Kenny the Jet Smith getting all the Yale gear. Charles busted his chops. I mean, you can't create that. Clark Kellogg almost feels like a hall monitor in that classroom.
Correct. Odd man out.
You know, he's serious, and we like Clark, but it's shenanigans, baby.
They're having fun.
This hour of the show is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Carl's voice, he's weak, but his opinions are strong. We'll talk about the Bravos because Carl killed a guy. He goes out of town. This guy starts to hit.
It happens.
Next.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah, man. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's curve. Jesse Chavez is back, bro. Unbelievable.
It's fan favorite.
Four times. So technically, Chris and I were talking, it's technically his fifth time around with the Braves. And he was with the White Sox. We were joking around, Carl and I. I mean, I don't know what he did to irk somebody in Chi-Town, but he never made it to Chi-Town. He was in Arizona, and now he's back with the Braves. And he's happy, and he always got emotional talking about it today. He's a good dude, and he always seems to bring – look, it defies logic. Carl and I joked around the last 4 years about Jesse Chavez, about how people don't just tee off on that stuff and doesn't go 500 feet. But he finds a way with guile and mixing up speed and location, and he just seems to find a way to always be a good gap guy in the bullpen.
Yeah, they trust him. You know what he's going to bring, and he's got some big outs for you. So they bring him back. Do you have a big problem with it? No, not at all. It's a depth move, and ultimately I think Chris said it. You know, a few months from now we'll be talking about him winning a few games for us. But familiarity has been a thing with this team because you bring back Duvall.
Right.
And now you bring back Jesse Chavez.
Now, we had a lot of fun the last few weeks talking about Jared Kelnick, who we don't know much about other than he was a former bonus baby with the Mets, traded to Seattle in the Edwin Diaz deal, summarily traded for two minor leaguers with Tommy John surgery issues for the Braves. And then he was going to be our potential penciled in starting left fielder on a team that is loaded. The only hole, to the chagrin of our producer Chris, would have been left field. He struggles early. They get Adam Duvall. So it's just purely coincidental. They go and get Adam Duvall to come in. Well, guess what?
What?
When you left, this dude was batting 075.
Yeah.
You come back from your trip out west, and now Jared Kelnick, a robust 127.
Come on, Chris. Give it up.
127, Carl. 0 for 3 today against the Twins.
He's climbing that ladder. It's very difficult when you're down in the dumps like that.
Right. Getting no support from local radio hosts.
Correct. People are killing you because, you know, you're not any good, or they perceive you not to be any good.
Yeah.
Kelnick, let's go, baby.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Right, Carl?
Let's go, Kelnick.
You get that right. I'll tell you who's on his game today. I'm Ozuna from the Braves. Home run today, three RBIs.
Nice.
He's batting 306 for what it's worth down there. By the way, now I know that some of the guys who cover the
Braves. Long as he helps us.
Bingo.
Long as he helps us.
Some of the guys who cover the Braves say, well, you're not talking about Matt. Because I know Matt Olson's going to produce because I've seen a track record.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's batting 143 this spring.
Yeah, here's the deal, guys, and this is why I'm not down on certain people like other people on this radio show. It's the long-term game when you talk about, Mike, what a guy has done in his career.
Right.
I'm not worried about Olson. Olson could hit. He could hit one. He could hit 95.
Right.
Wait a minute, Carl. Wait a minute.
What
did you just say? It's about what the guy's done on the back of his baseball card, not what
in
he's doing
real
right
life.
Now?
Yes.
You mean
in
guy,
real life.
The Matt Olson that hit 52 home
in
runs and led baseball last year, as opposed to the Jared Kelnick who has a career 202 batting average?
He doesn't have as much experience.
Right.
Would you stop it with the bum?
Uh-huh.
I heard you, Orin.
He's a bum.
He doesn't have as much experience.
Right.
I'm not worried about Olson. I'm not worried about Austin. No. I'm not worried about Acuna for life. I'm not worried about Ozzie. You want me to go on? I'm not worried about any of these guys because they've been in it now. They get it. For Kelnick, he's got to be given 6 to 8
Bum.
Weeks for me to see what's going
Chris,
on.
Chris, remember Godfather 2? Michael's sister brings that Merle home for the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know this Merle. I don't know what he lives on.
Yeah.
I don't know what this Kelnick's about. I don't know what this guy's going to do. I know that he's underachieved everywhere he's been.
Well, and you asked, or maybe one of you guys, Turtle, you were talking about it, or Mike, do you play him? Who starts the first series? Because, by the way, opening day is Thursday.
Right, in Philly.
Okay.
Duvall, by the way, was 0 for 4 today, so he's just still working
but,
some
but
stuff.
Yeah, my whole
you know that. You know his track record.
Well, my whole thing is, and I don't know if this is, you know, Snit's probably making this decision, but you got to play him. We got to figure this out. If he can't play, Mike, 6 to 8 weeks from now, this guy's hit one, what'd you say, 25?
127. 127, everybody.
Get him out of here. He's right. Got to go, right? But you can't do that at the start of the season because he had a bad spring.
Boom. Now, the other thing today that came up is that Mike Soroka is doing really well in his White Sox work. He's
happy
got
for
a low ERA, like 1.2-something in a couple of starts. I had a couple of guys I saw on Twitter, and I jumped into the thread to say, look, you cannot fault the Braves. The guy's like, oh, it was despicable that the Braves did. You gave him 3 years. You got to move on. And they moved out of Soroka. You know, it's like you wish him ill will. You wish him well. You hope he gets it. Because, I mean, nobody's a nicer guy that you and I have interviewed over the years
great.
With the Braves. You just feel like, man, he's just born under a bad sign. Maybe things work for him on the south side in Chi-Town. Good for him.
Why is it that we're upset that we're moving on from guys before and or at least we're moving on from guys that you feel like we shouldn't, even though the timing of those moves have been perfect? Why? I don't understand.
Braves fans get so – I mean, look, God bless you because you get a connection with a guy, and he was dealt a bunch of crappy cards here in Atlanta with the Achilles and the subsequent injuries.
But, Mike, it was time to go.
But, again, guys, stop whimpering. Stop blubbering. It's about results, and we're trying to win a freaking World Series, and to keep a guy around is an empty roster spot who can't stay healthy. You got to cut the cord.
Got to cut the cord. And, by the way, the rotation is better.
Chris Sale had a good outing today, by the way.
It's going to be fine. It's better without Soroka, even though I wish him nothing but the best. But, yeah, the thing that I'm loving about Alex Anthopoulos, at least in his term so far, Mike, he's not afraid to move on from guys, and he doesn't overpay.
Nope.
Those are two things that give you long-term success, especially in this sport. Yeah. So I'm all for, hey, We gave him 3 years. He had multiple injuries. It didn't work here. Doesn't mean that it's not going to work somewhere else.
It's like guys crying about Desmond Ridder that are Falcon fans. Let's turn the freaking page. Let's go. You know, I mean, it didn't fly. It's like we always thought Soroka and Fried were going to be like the Glavin and Smoltz for years here. Well, I mean, it just didn't work out.
You can hold on to those guys, and let's say he comes back and has a great year. Then you make the mistake of paying him.
Right.
Then he becomes an average pitcher, and you've overpaid for a guy who's underproducing only because he was in a contract year coming off of an injury, and it was a must-prove-it kind of deal. I love the fact, here's your window. It's not good enough. We're moving on.
Right. Why does that remind me eerily of a guy that may or may not play his home basketball in this building? The exact conversation you guys were just having about windows and timing and knowing when is the right time to get your assets and move on potentially sounds very familiar to me.
Who are you talking about?
I'm not going to name names, Carl.
He's talking about Trey Young.
I'm not going to name names,
Who
Carl.
Doesn't play for me, Carl?
I'm not wearing.
Even though, Carl, even though I am wearing the Kicks, by the way, you may have called me a hoe, but I do like his shoes.
Oh, I do like the shoes,
Thank
too.
Thank you, man. Yeah. But no,
I get a purple? Can I get the purple?
Oh, yeah. You know, and look. Does Trey owe Hawks Nation anything to try to come back and try to make a run? This team is going nowhere.
No,
we had injuries. We've been back and forth. But one thing I will say this about Trey. If you need to beat some other bum team, and that's not disparaging, he will rise up. He'll go for 25-10.
Yes.
He'll beat a Charlotte.
He'll do whatever
Remember,
he
beat Indiana a couple of years ago. It was Cleveland a couple of years ago. He'll get you into the dance. Now, what we do against Boston will be ugly. You're going to see some of that tonight, potentially.
Because stars can carry you to a certain point. But even then, Mike, this is why this Celtics team is so good. They have so many guys that can do it. And, you know, when the Golden State was making their run, same thing. You had multiple guys. Stars can get you so far, and then you need help because you get to these matchup problems, Mike, in the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Trey. And, by the way, I think if he's healthy, he will play.
You realize this team has won 9 games in a row, this Boston team that's coming in tonight. We'll talk more about it in the headlines. These guys are 15-1 in what used to be the division. Now we just look at the Eastern Conference stats. But they're kicking butt, taking names. Bucks look like they've kind of got things going as well. But ever since they changed coaches.
Doc Rivers.
Weird. But, it just seems to me like the Celtics, if you can't pull it off this year, then never. If you can't get it done this year, the way the stars have aligned, get the worker, the glue guy like Jrue Holiday. You know, I mean, you know, we've already talked about, you know, some of the other pieces that they've added that make.
Well, Brogdon. I mean, they just have guys that do what they're asked in their roles, and then you got two stars in Jaylen Brown and Tatum.
And not to mention Porzingis was such a nice pick for them too. So
yes, put Porzingis on this team.
Right. Now, as far as the Hawks, Porzingis on this team.
But I'm saying that, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Add that element. That's. That's
Look,
what
you're
going to
trade.
Missing.
You're going to trade DeJounte in the offseason. They're never going to trade Trey. Now, I know we've had a bunch of national guys. They don't live here. They don't know what the fan base would do if Trey gets traded, which means not show up. So, with all due respect, I understand it. You would get more share of a bigger haul potentially of picks.
Yeah,
because you said it earlier. You're not bringing in more guys. You know, you got to find Trey's got to find a nucleus of guys that want to play with Trey. That's why the perception of him is so important. That's why he talked about it in that interview, the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, you got to bring some guys in that want to play with him.
Mike,
let's go.
But Mike, you also have to take some chances. Dallas took a chance in bringing in Kyrie. Now he resigned.
Right.
But that was a huge risk. What risk have we taken?
Well,
What risk have we taken?
The DeJounte was a risk because your general manager said he shouldn't do it. And you outvoted him.
That wasn't a risk. That was a dumb move for three first-rounders.
Well, I guess Schlenk would say it's risky because this ain't
going
to work.
And that's not on DeAndre or DeJounte. You've got to know the value of your players when you're giving them up and trading for guys. To me, you're right, but it was a dumb move.
Right.
I just asked Hawk fans, what is the risk? Where's our move that you go, this is either going to work and it's really going to take us over the top.
Right.
Not DeJounte Murray getting us, or this isn't. Right. I don't know if we've made that move.
Probably deciding that Herter and Collins were not the answer.
Correct.
No, that's just
And
it.
Then you had to get out of it.
Yeah, and then but Herter's a role player that does adds. Yeah. You know, that's a guy. If you're going to win, you need players like that.
Well,
the contract unfortunately came up. It's still $75 million growing up. We're talking like we broke the bank. But John Collins, you waited too long to freaking trade.
Full disclosure, Chris. Flat out, the former general manager said 3 years. Three, we came off the run in 21. He's hot.
Right.
Should have traded him then. because you knew that's not where you were going to go.
Right. So now we're trying to make a run. If Trey doesn't want to play, I understand that. If Trey does want to come in, he has talked about some articles written, Carl, about you got to wear a brace or something's going to alter his shooting motion. He doesn't really feel comfortable doing that.
Well, and because
on the pinky, with the pinky.
Because you know what happens. And then he goes 2 for 15, has a terrible shooting night,
right,
and gets all the blame.
Right. Now you're
even though he's out there playing with an injured finger.
That's also the lasting image you would have of him going into a potential offseason where there could be big moves made.
Sure. But I think Trey's resume speaks for itself. This guy is solid. We talked about always number two or top three in assists.
I agree.
You know what he can do. He can take over games. It's just a matter of, I mean, did they ever give him a supporting cast? The year we go to the Eastern Conference Finals, you had shooters off the bench. You had toughness. We don't have any of that stuff right now.
Yeah, it's a great point. Celtics are going to be tough tonight.
Now, here's the thing, though. Do you believe Jalen Johnson? I believe in Jalen Johnson.
I do, too.
But much like DeAndre Hunter, he's shown an inability to stay healthy for extended periods of time.
Well, this is now, this year has become the question. This is a breakout year. Right. But, yeah, man, we're going to see. They get him twice. They get him tonight, and they get him on Friday.
Hey, man, we spoke with Connor Riley earlier today from Dog Nation. Get his take on what's become a pretty embarrassing situation, again, involving getting guys behind the wheel that shouldn't be behind the wheel in Athens, this time involving a player, which got a lot of people fired up. Here is conversation with us coming up in the next hour. We'll also take a look at the headlines and see how Mr. Vegas did. Did Carl clean up? Did he actually not walk off the craps table mid-roll like he usually does when I play with him? This hour of the show here on Dukes of Bell, live from State
Farm.
Got
to go all in, Mike.
Where you're going to hear the Hawks taking on the Celtics, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We'll come back and take a look at the top three.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.